Green Bay. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli government told hostage families that the process of releasing their loved ones will begin Monday morning. President Trump heads to the region today as the ceasefire continues to hold. ABC's Ian Panel has the latest from Tel Aviv.
According to the Prime Minister's office, President Trump's going to meet with the families of the hostages tomorrow before he heads to Egypt for what's being touted as a peace summit with the leaders of more than 20 countries. For President Trump, this wasn't just about Gaza. This is part of his plan to try and achieve a wider peace settlement across the Middle East.
Saturday, the president told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to ensure the members of the military are paid October 15th as the government shutdown continues. The Northeast is bracing for a nor'easter, a state of emergency in effect in New Jersey, where strong winds, heavy rain, and coastal flooding is possible. And Hollywood is mourning Oscar winner Diane Keaton, who died Saturday at 79. This is ABC News. Five people were injured in a helicopter crash Saturday in Huntington Beach, California. Two were hurt on the helicopter. They were pulled from the wreckage. Three others on the ground. All five rushed to hospitals. There's no word on their conditions or what caused the helicopter. Meanwhile, one of three crew members who was aboard a medical helicopter that crashed in Sacramento Monday has died.
In a statement, Reach Air Medical Services says Susie Smith, a nurse who was on board the Reach helicopter that crashed on Monday night, has died from her injuries. Reach calls Smith a pillar of the EMS community and says she saved countless lives in the medical chopper. She had a 50-year career as a nurse and 21 years with Reach. Smith was trapped under the chopper on the freeway. Good Samaritans lifted the helicopter to help firefighters free her. Two other crew members were critically injured in the crash. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Milwaukee Brewers beat the Chicago Cubs. They advanced to the National League Championship Series against the LA Dodgers. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian,
Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlotte Pittman. Some messages say the radical left Democrat shutdown. Others just mention a lapse in funding. Legal experts are warning that some of the messages about the federal government shutdown may violate the Hatch Act. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Public News Service has more.
As Washington continues to bombard the public with political rhetoric about the government shutdown, some law experts argue these messages could be breaking a law put in place to prohibit political sway by the executive branch. The Hatch Act prevents officials from using their authority to politicize the federal workplace, and it ensures nonpartisan administration of government programs. Delaney Marsco with Campaign Legal Center says things like government websites displaying messages that blame one political party for the government shutdown are skirting the line of Hatch Act violations.
Specifically mentioning a political party, kind of targeting a political party, does come a little bit closer to that definition of what political activity is.
About 18,000 federal government employees in Wisconsin could be impacted by the shutdown and potential layoffs. A recent Gallup poll shows only 1 in 3 Americans trust the federal government to act in society's best interests, regardless of political affiliation.
The whole ethics system, from like conflicts of interest law to the Hatch Act, all of that exists to try and create an ecosystem where political coercion doesn't exist.
Marsco says she's concerned about the systemic dismantling of these ethics guardrails, pointing to the firing of inspectors general or threats to defund oversight offices as examples.
The more awareness the public has about the guardrails that are in place, they can hopefully understand that it doesn't have to be this way.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. More sunshine than clouds and pleasant for today, with a high in the upper 60s and a little breezy. Tonight, mostly cloudy, chance of showers late, lows in the mid-50s. And there could be an early shower on Monday, then some clearing and a high near 70. It's 55 right now.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight from HBO's Task, I welcome Jamie McShane and comedian and host of the WGN Morning Show, Mike Toomey. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. A weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Now, this is the show where we do what we say and we really lean into the local community. And we've had some great guests on in the past. Of course, we had the director of the Volunteer Center last week. I think we had Lori Radke on, the president of the chamber, and just things that are going on here locally. And that's not to say they aren't going on nationally as well, but what we'll do here for the next hour is just talk about what's going on in the greater Green Bay community. And that's not to say we're not concerned with other issues, right, going on in Washington, D.C. There's plenty going on all over the world and in Madison. But here on Lean Local, we're going to talk about the greater Green Bay community. And today we've got a subject that I'm excited about the show, but in doing the research, it was it's the word I'm looking for, Ron. Kind of sad what we're doing. Today we're going to talk about school safety. It's been in the news lately. You saw some of the things that happened at Preble. And when you look at school safety and you think there's just nothing more important than kids, right? Than our youth. Nothing. And you can say, well, we got... this has to be done. These roads need to be fixed. You know, we need some economic development. Yeah, we need all that stuff. But when it comes to what's top priority, it's the youth of this community. And we've been, I don't know if the word is luck, fortunate, whatever, but we haven't experienced what some of these other communities have experienced. I mean, it's unbelievable when you think back to, and this has been going on for some time, not when I was in school, but if you look at Columbine, which to me was kind of like, I can't believe this happened. And that was, of course, in 1999. And we've just had over 200 people, kids killed since then in these school shootings. And just the number of shootings were over 1,000. Just shootings where people have been, where there's someone has been shot, but I'm talking about just the number of victims killed. I think that was the Post I saw that 213 deaths and shootings during school hours since 1999. And it's unbelievable. And I was reading through where these schools, where these shootings happen. And yeah, this is like, I can tell you, I was talking to our guest that I'll introduce in just a second. I remember where I was when I heard these things. This is like where when Reagan got shot type thing. I mean, people remember certain things in their life. So, I mean, it definitely makes an impact on all of us. And, you know, I think we all remember where we were when Sandy Hook happened in 2012. And, of course, that Robb Elementary thing was just, Columbine. It goes on and on. But here in Green Bay, we take our youth very seriously, and as we should. And I'm going to talk to kind of a myriad of guests in here today. I've got somebody from the school board that's on here, from the Board of Education. We've got an SRO, which is, of course, the school resource officer. We've got some students here from Preble and TC, and we've got some parents here. And we're going to get all through this in the next hour. I'll be quiet in just a second, but I've got quite a few questions that I want to ask these people. But before all of that, I want to thank them for coming on here. It's not the most pleasant subject to talk about, but on the other hand, when I called them, they moved their schedules around. They said, yeah, I want to be here. I want to talk about this. And I was mayor when that incident happened at East High School. And I just, this community, City Hall and the police officers were quite shaken by that. Now, nothing happened. It was thwarted. But that could have been terrible. I mean, what we found in these kids' homes and basements, and there was definitely a plot. And these kids went to jail to do some serious, serious damage at East High School. And thank God, a kid, Matt Atkinson, who we named a scholarship after, stood up and talked to one of you guys, talked to an SRO and said, hey, look, this is what I heard. And when you guys jumped on it, we thwarted what would have been an awful, awful thing here in Green Bay. But we're going to talk about what we're doing and what needs to be done. James Lyrie, who I think you've heard that name, he's been a trustee on the Board of Education for the past 4 years and is very, very dedicated to education in our community. And then we have a school liaison officer, James Elsinger, who has been an SRO for 2 years. And I just, again, I know you guys moved your schedules around to be here. I just want to thank you for being here and welcome.
You're welcome. And I'm actually very proud and glad to be here.
Well, good. So, is our number coming up? Are we lucky? What are we doing? Do you feel like Green Bay's got this under control from a school Board of Education standpoint? I know you had a huge meeting at Preble School with, I think there were over 400 people attended that, right?
Right, yeah.
And I've talked to some of the parents, and I think it's great that you went to the parents and talked to them, not saying, like, look, I'm in this Ivy Tower and I'm going to tell you how we're going to handle this thing. But do you think we're doing a good job, or do you think there's more that needs to be done?
So I'm going to go back to your introduction, and you were trying to decide whether to use the word fortunate or not. And I'll tell you that in the aftermath of the Preble incident, in a conversation between Superintendent Byer and I used exactly that word, right? We were very fortunate that the weapon was found. It wasn't involved in the incident at Preble. And to your question, no, it's not under control. We're in process, right? So we had a response to an incident, and the district, I think, took some action that some have characterized as dramatic, right? We made some protocol shifts almost overnight to address our ability and student ability to kind of participate and see something, say something, right? That's one of the foundational ideas behind the clear backpacks, right? It's now immeasurably more difficult to not only enter school with something concealed, but also keep it concealed throughout the same day, because now we have a student body that can participate beyond the entry points, right, in that process. And we have tip lines and everything there. But from that incident and over the last couple of weeks, what the district did and what we directed the district to do was to go back and take action on that community roundtable information and that feedback, consolidate it, synthesize it, and present us what the community said and what they value as protections, and then start digging in and talk about the feasibility of those different options. And we kind of laid out how we wanted them to grade and assess those different options. And that's what's leading up to October 13th. So there's absolutely more to do. And there are options to evaluate, and we have to figure out how we actually go through and implement them.
So Officer Ellinger, this incident at Preble, and you did find a gun.
So I was not there personally.
Right, you're at East, that's right.
Yep. So obviously the news that came out, they had told that they had found a weapon and everything. And I think that speaks volumes for our school resource officers and our administrations that work those buildings, because they worked in collaboration with one another. And just from the couple of years that I've worked with the schools, just seeing the collaboration between the school administration and the police department, I think this is a good, effective team.
Going to a clear backpack, I don't want to be cynical, but people have called me. They know you guys were coming on the show. We're doing the show. If you look at ways to carry a gun, there's on what there might be 9 ways. That is not one of them. I just hope we're not looking at a false sense of security by going to clear backpacks when there are so many other ways to bring a gun into a building. And I'm not the school, obviously, the most important building, but are you satisfied with that decision?
I mean, I think the school board has made mentions that this is a step in the right direction. It's not the final completion, but it's a step moving forward in hopes to keep that train moving forward for safety and security. We look at the NFL games that we have here in town, and the NFL, the National Football League, they have that is one of their things, is you have to have clear backpacks and everything.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit harder for people to sneak in contraband weapons and all those types of things. Now, is it 100%? No, it's not 100%, but you get those small percentages for different things that are being incorporated. It's going to help out in the long run.
Definitely sends a message.
Yes.
I mean, we're watching, or we're looking. Are you, as an SRO, as a school resource officer, James was talking about this parent meeting, and these parents are going to weigh in on that too. Are you part of this discussion, this collaboration? Because I think that's really, I always went to you guys when there was an issue that was like, because I sure didn't know everything, still don't, but are you part of that discussion as well with James and the Board of Ed?
So I know the school resource officers at the different sites. We work in collaboration with the school admin at the different sites, and we do site security checks, which at East High School, we just had one. And I, as the SRO at the time there, I walked through the school buildings with the security assessors, which they brought in people from outside of the school district to kind of be those open eyes and to see if there's something more that we can do and something that we're missing. So they are taking steps, other additional steps besides just the clear backpack. So yes, I am incorporated with that.
Again, we're not alone with this. This happens right in front of me. You can see the myriad of schools that have had this. Do you reach out, and maybe I'll ask you this as the Board of Ed, or maybe you as an SRO, to other communities, other schools? What are you doing? How are things going? Because, and we talked a little bit before we came on air about everything costs money. That's okay to me, right? I mean, things cost money, and it's all a matter of priorities. You know, I used to say it all the time in City Hall. It's like, yep, we'd like to do this, this, and this, but, you know, my job is to set priorities, and this is what it's going to be. Tell me about studying other communities.
So Superintendent Beyer, that's kind of her go-to. When she's faced with making decisions like this and establishing policy and protocols, she is fantastic about reaching out to like-sized districts, so the Big Five. You know, so you're talking about Milwaukee, Madison, Racine, what have you, and to gain their counsel, right? And she doesn't want to make decisions without all the inputs that she can get, right? And I've seen that in action. As an individual board member, I've reached out to other districts, superintendents, and other board members, also looking for what are you doing, right? And how can, are there models that we can follow? Because if there's a will that we don't have to reinvent, let's do that.
Absolutely. All right. And do you have a time frame? I mean, this was close, right? Found a gun. We had that was a while ago at East High School when we had that threat. Is this something that you've calendared, that we are going to make a decision on getting something implemented? When the music starts, that means I have to stop.
Sure.
So I want to get to the parents and students next, the next segment. I'm going to bring you guys back. So stick around, grab something to water, soda, or say something to drink. That wouldn't have sounded right. So, but I want to hear what they have to say and then get you guys back, and we'll talk a little bit more. But before we leave, I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I mean, we need leadership in this city on all levels, and especially when it comes to the school safety. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
from Ashwaubenon to Alloway. This is 97.9 WGBW.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like six tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, you're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and the subject today that we're leaning into is school safety. And we just heard from two leaders in that is James Lowry, who is a trustee with the Board of Education, and of course our school resource officer James Elsinger, who's been he's at East High School and works with the other SROs in the community. And they gave us some very practical knowledge about this, but I want to shift gears here, and I've invited a student and a couple parents to come in and join us. And Nikki, who is a parent of a student at Preble High School, and then Kylie, who is a student at Preble High School, and Elizabeth, who is a parent of a student at Edison School. And you must think about this often.
Yes.
You talk closer to the mic here. I just want to. I mean, this is, you know, I have kids, but they're older, and I just don't remember sitting around the dinner table talking about this as much as I think you do, right? I mean, this has got to be when you kiss your kids goodbye. I mean,
yeah, there's definitely fear there. I think about it all day long. My poor son is thinking about it all day long. He said that's pretty much all him and his friends, like they maybe go 5 minutes without talking about it, and then the subject is right back up. That's all everyone's talking about.
But that's awful. I mean, that's for a kid, shouldn't be in there. They shouldn't worry about money. That's so minor compared to this. But I mean, right. I think a kid's got to be, you got to let kids be kids.
Exactly.
Kylie, tell me, what year are you?
What do you mean by what that?
Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior?
I'm a senior.
Oh, you're a senior. Okay, so you've been around. Closer to the mic a little bit. You're at school, you go to school, do you feel safe at school?
Most days I do not know. It's.
I mean, that's. I'm sad, but anyway, go ahead. You don't feel safe at school.
It's an aggressive environment, especially Preble. Preble is known for the constant fighting, the constant, you know, there's always something going on today. Just today, during 6-hour lunch, I was in culinary, and there was a fight that broke out in the cafeteria.
So when you were a freshman, and that was, you know, 4 years ago, do you worry now that it could escalate to a shooting, or was that a fear you had when you were born in 2008? That's when you were 4 years old when Sandy Hook happened, which is a terrible, terrible shooting. That's, what, I think 20, more than that, 37 kids were killed. But do you worry about it escalating, or do you, because we had fights when I was in school, and I'm a whole lot older than you, but we never, ever thought about guns. We just didn't.
When I first started attending Preble, it definitely was a thought in the back of my head that, you know, one day it could happen, but I didn't ever seriously think that it could happen. But as I continue to go to Preble and I learn, I think it could happen. I definitely think that one day there will be an incident at Preble that could have been prevented.
So when they found that gun, and that was a few weeks ago, you weren't like, oh my God, or what was the chatter on the in the classroom or on the table?
So, unfortunately, nobody told anyone. The kids who had saw it knew about it, but they did not tell students. We did not go on lockdown, and they did not send an email out until 3:20 after class had ended. So I did not know until I had finished school and I had gone home and I was getting ready for work, and then I see it posted on Snapchat and I see it in my emails, and I'm like, holy cow, dude, I had no idea that this had happened. Like, I wish that somebody had told me, you know?
Well, okay, so it got out, and they reacted rather quickly, I would like to think, with the clear backpacks. And what did you, as a student, and I just want to say Preble, for those who don't know, that's a huge school.
Yes.
I mean, I went to school at St. Norbert. Preble has more students than St. Norbert College. I mean, people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. I mean, you have over 2,000 students there, and we didn't have that. St. Norbert doesn't have that. Anyway, when they had this meeting, and Elizabeth's going to talk a little bit about that in a second, but they came with a clear backpacks. Did you feel good?
I personally had mixed opinions about it. A lot of people do believe that it is an invasion of privacy, but I think personally that if you don't have anything that you need to hide or anything that you don't want anyone to see, then it's not an issue. And I know that my bag's fine. Like, my bag's covered in dinosaurs. I don't got anything to hide, so I'm okay with it. But I also do kind of feel that it kind of takes away pieces of our personality. People use their backpacks to express who they are and whatnot.
Yeah, you got to give a little sometimes, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I want to get more to, did you feel more secure after the clear backpack policy was instituted?
I did not know.
Okay. Elizabeth, you attended the parent meeting. You have a kid, a young man at Edison that's going to be going to Preble next year. The parent meeting, did you appreciate that? Did you think that you were listened to?
I appreciated that they had us all get together and have, like, a talk, and it really felt like they were hearing us out. I guess their plan that they came in quick with, I don't feel like it's enough, and I know they have a meeting coming up to discuss more, right. And I really hope that it becomes more.
I think what we heard from, you know, the school board member, I think it is going to become more. Mm. You know, there's so much going on in a city, in a community, and I think this has elevated itself to, like, is our number coming up? And we gotta make sure it doesn't. So you guys stick around. We're going to go to a little commercial break we're going to take right now. I want to come back. I have a number of questions I want to ask you, but I just want to thank you for being here. Not the easiest subject to talk about, but something that's really important because we're going to have students for a long, long time here, and we appreciate you being with us. We'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Israeli government told hostage families that the process of releasing their loved ones will begin Monday morning. President Trump heads to the region today as the ceasefire continues to hold. ABC's Ian Pannell has the latest from Tel Aviv.
According to the Prime Minister's office, President Trump's going to meet with the families of the hostages tomorrow before he heads to Egypt, for what's being touted as a peace summit with the leaders of more than 20 countries. For President Trump, this wasn't just about Gaza. This is part of his plan to try and achieve a wider peace settlement across the Middle East.
Saturday, the president told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to ensure the members of the military are paid October 15th as the government shutdown continues. The Northeast is bracing for a nor'easter, a state of emergency in effect in New Jersey, where strong winds, heavy rain, and coastal flooding is possible. And Hollywood is mourning Oscar winner Diane Keaton, who died Saturday at 79. This is ABC News.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cubs 3-1 in Game 5 to win the Divisional Championship Series. They'll host the Dodgers tomorrow night in Game 1 of the NL Championship. Pat Murphy on the Brewers able to win a playoff series.
After last year, that was the wild card series. We won the division. Mets were hot. They came back and beat us, all right, at the last inning. They were shell-shocked. We were all shell-shocked to see the room then. And I just said, hey, guys, somehow this is going to help us. And what I think it did is galvanize the group. And then, you know, we've been talking about Uke all year long. And it may sound corny to some, but if you lived it the way we did, you know, Uke's presence was here. And they didn't want to let him down.
Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, I'm disappointed. I'm sad. You know, I think this team did a lot to honor the Chicago Cub uniform. What did we do wrong tonight? That's kind of what you got, you're stuck on. And why couldn't we get anything going? You know, so it's hard to get past that right now.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. More sunshine than clouds and pleasant for today with a high in the upper 60s and a little breezy. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers late. Lows in the mid-50s. And there could be an early shower on Monday, then some clearing and a high near 70. It's 55 right now.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids' meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. And I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinere is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. This city on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay,
This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Lean Local. We are obviously discussing a sensitive and super important topic here of school safety. And I'm being joined in this section right here by two very concerned parents, as we all are, Elizabeth and Nikki, who are parents of students at Preble and Edison. And then Kylie is here, and she's a senior at Preble High School. And so I got to pay for the show, so let me just run a couple ads real quick, you guys. So I have a little water, soda, whatever you want. But really, to do these shows, we need sponsors. And this show is all about Greater Green Bay. And I just talked to a couple friends of mine who own businesses. And they're like, sure, Jim, we'll help you out. And just Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. That is a great, great company. As you know, you probably saw in the paper or on TV, they just expanded out to De Pere with this like 70,000 square foot warehouse. That is a big warehouse, by the way. But they do windows and doors. And if you want to save, you know, keep the heat in the house, go to these guys. You want to keep the air conditioning in the house, you got to talk to them. And what's cool about Pella, and I live in my house is 115 years old, and I've got all Pella windows and doors. But they came in with their laptop and different designs. And of course, mine's be a little bit more historical to modern homes. And it's a 90-minute free consultation. They come in and look at your house, look at your doors, and unbelievable designs that they have, and they have great payment plans. So I just want to give a, you know, Pella Windows and Doors. It's just really PellaWI.com. You can set up appointments and see what they have. And the other great company in Green Bay that is a sponsor of this show is Nicolet Bank. And Nicolet started back in 2000, which isn't that long ago if you think about it, 25 years ago. And they have just grown to be one of the best banks, second best, largest bank in the state of Wisconsin, but 57 branches, and they're just very, very community focused. You know, they give loans for everything, cars, businesses, you know, farms. They have a wealth management department, but what they do, many, many things for the community. You know, the city deck, they sponsor a lot of events downtown. They are very supportive of the new community shelter where I work, and just a great bank. So, you know, I like to do business with people that do good things for the community. So, and the other two sponsors we have, which I'll mention next week because they're not on this week, is Rumley's Jewelry. That's a good place. And Tailwaggers, where I take my dog. So anyway, so I go in there and say, hey, look, I got a radio show. You want to sponsor? They're like, yeah, of course we will. Anyway, back to what's a lot more important, and that's school safety. And Nikki, we are kind of talking a little bit. I'm going to focus on you just for a second or two here because I think you're quite interesting when it comes to this. But we talked about, do you... your safety at school, you do active shooter drills? I mean, we always had fire drills, right, when I was your age. But do you do drills at school? Kylie, I'm sorry. At Preble, too? Like, with a code name and
we
all
have,
that?
We have Alice drills.
Okay.
We do yearly fire drills, tornado drills.
The Alice drills, well, tell me about that. Do they... isn't that where they kind of mention a name over the loudspeaker and you know that there's... do I have that right?
Yeah. Alice drills are basically like just active shooter drills, what we would do in case of someone was inside the school or if somebody was outside of the school and we were unsafe.
Oh, okay. I want to ask the parents. Kyle, just step back for 1 second. Why do you think this is more prevalent than when we were in school? No, Nikki, I want to ask you. Elizabeth?
Well, I think there are some things that have changed over... I think there are some things that have changed over the years. Some of them being, you know, some of the video games that are out now, they can be very violent. I have noticed there seems to be an increase of drug abuse, which in turn can lead to, you know, a lack of proper emotional support in the homes. I mean, those are the two major things that I've seen is the change in, you know, the advancement in technology and an increase in drug abuse.
Elizabeth,
Why do you think this is a bigger concern when you were a kid?
Maybe like the higher divorce rate and split homes, people not co-parenting, and not having the same punishment at both houses. A number of different things. People not getting help for mental health that they need or don't even know how to get the help.
So mental health is always mentioned at these things. So a lot of people mention the Second Amendment. Let's get rid of the guns. There's other people that mention mental health. Our Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kennedy, right now we take physical tests, right? We institute the president's test, and that's where you got to run a mile in, I think, 8 or 9 minutes and do 100 push-ups or something. He's thinking we should go do mental health screening for all kids. Very controversial. Do you think that's a good idea, not a good idea? Have you thought about that, talked about it? You don't know.
I don't know why it would hurt.
Do you have an opinion on that?
I am actually all for it because I think, like, as a child myself, I knew I had, you know, there were some mental health issues that I experienced as a child, but unless I was confronted, I would never reach out myself. I was too afraid to speak up for that. So I think if there was some type of evaluation done, you know, those issues could get addressed that sometimes get swept under the rug.
Interesting. I wonder where that's going to go. My kids are older now, but it's what happens to that information. What do you do with it and how confidential is it? And those are all things that you get concerned about as a parent. Back to the student. What would you like to see happen at school? I think school is to learn from home. I want to be home and study. You're missing a huge, huge part of being a kid when you're not with other students. And maybe you don't realize that, but that is a huge part of education, is being together and, I don't know, prom, homecoming, all these other things. Football games, and that's cool stuff, you know, and you have to learn online or learn at home or AI, you know, and go to school. It's just not the same. That's my opinion. But what do you think? I mean, you're a student.
I mean, personally, the only time that I ever did online school was during quarantine. And I know that I personally hated it. My mental health declined. I felt so isolated and lonely all the time. You know, you can't go out and to hang out with your friends. You know, we're in a global pandemic. But coming back to school, I've definitely noticed, like, you know, life is joyous again. Like, I have more friends now, and I go out and I do things with my friends. And it really, like, high school really is a part of, like, the teenage experience, is, you know, being a kid.
As it should be, without fears. And you said you had some anxiety going to school, and that saddens me. What would you like the school to do? I mean, we can't assign a bodyguard to each and every student. I mean, there's just things that aren't practical. But what would make you feel like, would it be mental health tests? Would it be more security? Would it be better guards? I don't know. You tell me. You're the student. What would you like to see? Have you thought about that? You must have thought about it.
Yeah, I've thought about that. I personally agree with Nikki, and I do think that they should make mental health screening more mandatory, at least. It doesn't have to be anything too extensive or anything, but just, like, the general, like, are you okay? Are you harming yourself? Are you harming other people? Is somebody harming you? Are you suicidal? Are you self-harming? Just the basics, you know? Right. You don't got to get too deep and too personal, you know, unless there's cause for concern. I personally... this has been thrown around a lot, but I would love weapon detectors at schools. I think that would make me feel much more safer here.
That's good. That's what we want. Elizabeth, your son is what, 7th grade, 8th grade?
7th.
Does he talk about when an incident happened? You talk about that at the dinner table, or is it out of sight, out of mind, or how do you deal with a 7th grader? That's pretty formidable years right there.
Yeah, so we touch base on it. Like, I try not to, like, go into so many details about it because I don't want to scare him. Like, he's still 12, right? And, like, it's hard because, like, do you want to scare a 12-year-old, or do you just kind of want to let them be, or do you actually prepare them for this? I don't know.
Yeah. But you as a parent,
yeah,
these metal detectors or gun weapon detector things that you walk through, and even that video that, you know, you sent me, as a parent, you would be okay with your kid walking through that every day?
100%, yes.
Wow. I think I am too, you know, the more I think about it, because if, like Kylie said, if she has a peace of mind going through school that I've walked through this, and it sure doesn't seem that inconvenient, you know, it's not like, you know, like TSA, back in the day, I'd take your shoes off and belt. It smelled like a locker room in there. I was just like, I didn't care for that. But now that you can just walk through, I mean, if it's convenient and the student doesn't think anything of it, like walking through the front door.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
I think that there should be absolutely zero issues with walking through weapons detectors unless you have something to hide. I think everyone, maybe not everyone, but I do believe a large majority of students would agree with me when I say this. Weapon detectors, you should have absolutely no problem walking through them, you know, unless you have something that is a cause for concern. And, you know, hopefully no one who's going to walk through one of these weapon detectors is going to have, you know, a cause for concern or anything in their pockets or their bag or their jacket or whatever that would make it go off.
So have you been asked, as a student, what you want? I mean, I think they asked the parents, and I think that was a really, really good step. I was really glad. And I was, when you came in and said there's 400 parents there, that's awesome when you get that kind of turnout. Sometimes you have these listening sessions and there's 12 people. It's like, do they really care? I mean, 450 people. But have you been asked as a student do you feel like your voice is being heard? Do you, is your guy, I don't know if you got homeroom or guidance counselors, I don't know how you guys structure it now, but they had like, a seminar with the students?
So I went to the round meeting table with Elizabeth.
Oh, that was, okay, that was for both students and parents?
Yes.
Oh, cool. All right, good.
My aunt, too.
And your aunt, yes.
Yeah. And I feel like I said a lot during that meeting. I really got my opinion out. But after that, you know, going back to class, we have advisory, which is our version of homeroom. No one ever really talked about it. Nothing happened after that. I mean, there was like the over the intercom, like, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. But that was about it.
Okay. Some of this stuff needs to be student led. You know?
Yeah.
Get with your friends and don't let it go away, you know, because, you know, I was like president of my eighth grade class, high school class, and some of the stuff has to be student led. And you do it respectfully, but don't let it. I mean, these guys who are going to come on next are leading it for you, but it's nice to get the students to be behind it as well. So I think you're great. I really appreciate you coming on here.
Thank
and this
you.
Has been very enlightening to me and your parents. And I mean, we can't let this go away, because like, even if our number's coming up, let's just make it not. You know, and we can do that. There's a cost to these things, and that's an issue that we'll take care of later, but we got to come up with the right solution, and it's going to happen because of people like you. So thank you for being here. We're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
Time out on the field. Let's bring in Gina Della from Pella. What's the winning game plan this month?
Wayne, a whole house of new windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months.
Wow, that's a drive you can sustain for years. No penalties, no extra interest.
And unlike opponents, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin actually stops the drafts.
Don't sit on the sidelines, folks. Make your move today at PellaWI.com.
Zero restrictions apply. It's 10/31/2025.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community, and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com.
sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like at Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Sunday mornings are more interesting than ever. Broadcasting from just off the city deck in downtown Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping it up here on Lean Local. Interesting guest, and I just want to thank all of them again for taking the time to come here. And we heard from Nikki and Kylie and Elizabeth talking from a student and parent perspective. And I'm going to go back now to James Lyrie, who is the trustee for the Board of Education, as well as our school resource officer, James Elsinger. And you guys were sitting in the back when the student and parents were talking. Can I just ask you, James, just very open, what did you think of their comments?
Well, you used the word sad a couple of times, yeah. And I would say that that's, you know, a feeling that I had as well. The good news out of this conversation is they did not say anything new, right? What we're going to be talking about on the 13th is comprehensive of everything that was said by both the students and the parents. It's a complicated issue. We want to make sure that we retain the student experience and create places where students can learn. But we also have to do everything that we can to safeguard those students, right? And part of that conversation will be weapon detection. Part of that conversation will be mental health resources, mm-hmm. which are in crisis, you know, the lack of mental health resources that we have in the community. So, but it's all part of the conversation that we're going to hold on October 13th.
That's great. And officer, you were listening, you had comments on what the student and parents had to say?
I mean, I would, their comments are very much appreciated because it's on board with the same, you know, the same viewpoints that we have as a safe school in everyone's viewpoint.
A fear that I think some of us have is that this is in the news now, and it's going to end up on page 9 in a couple, 3 weeks. I'm not asking for your assurance, but I am. Do you think something is going to change? I mean, I think back to East High School, and more probably should have happened back then. I just want to say I was, that was very, very serious. And, you know, the kids went to jail, which that was okay, but it wasn't everything. I think there's more that could have been done. And I think there were some things done at the front desk, right? We put in that somebody to watch the students come in, but nothing is that serious. And maybe that was a missed opportunity. I don't know. But can I just maybe hear from you as a that something will, some action will happen?
So I think the student said something that we have to acknowledge, right? Incident happened. We had a community roundtable, went back to school, and the student experience changed very little, right? And it wasn't a, every morning there's a new announcement about a new safeguard out there, because we were in a process of distilling that information and deciding where do we take this and what do we do next. And even if you go back to the previous incidents, it's very easy to say it went quiet. The reality is a key component of the latest referendum had dollars allocated for additional secure entrances and everything. So some of these initiatives that will stem from this incident will be long running, and it will be something that will probably require referendum funding and everything. So I can assure you that this board, which the composition will change next April, right?
Right.
This board, as it stands, is very passionate about making sure that this does not end and without progressing and making sure that we all keep going in the right direction. We recognize that all of these recommendations, if we do any one of them in isolation, it's not good enough,
right?
So there will be some composition of different controls that we put in place that we as a board and as a district think, A, we can afford, and it solves particular problems, and it advances our security footing, right? And without, again, sacrificing that student experience, right? The things that you talked about earlier, it's important to have students come together for learning, because that socialization is very important. It's the same thing that creates risk, right? When you pull all of the community and all of the community and family problems into the school, risk will always be there.
And officer, feel the same way, right? I mean, you guys, this is a priority for the SROs.
Absolutely. Working with my team of the other SROs that are involved, we're always looking to help out and trying to figure out new ways to make a safer and more secure school. And we assist each other every minute that we can.
I appreciate what you guys do and getting to know the students and kind of hearing what's kind of going on. I'll get your ear to the ground. So, all right, we're running out of time here, but it is Sunday, and that means we have a football game. Yes, no?
Yeah, against the Bengals.
Oh, okay. Oh, they just got a new quarterback.
Joe Flacco.
He's going to come in wanting to make a mark. What's going to happen?
I think Packers win. Maybe not by a lot.
He picks the Packers every week. Hey, I just want to say a friend of mine and a friend of a lot of ours is with the Glam Band, and they are playing a post party at the Stadium View. I just want to plug that. Dennis is great. He's been on the show many times, and he's the guy that is struggling with prostate cancer, and he's coming out of the woods on it, and it's going into remission, and we're very happy, and so we want to come and see him, and a lot of stuff going on. Just go to the community calendar. With Ace has got a big thing going on. Chef Ace, who's a big friend of ours, and he's at the Paradise Distillery. He's got a big show going on there October 15th. There's stuff going on at the Automobile Gallery on the 16th, and Chris Mercy Me is going to be at the Rush Center on the 17th, so check the community calendar. Thank you to my guests. You guys, this has been one of my favorite shows. Thank you for doing this. And I'm going to have you all back as things progress, because it sure sounds like we're going to keep this ball rolling. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We will see you next week. I am
happens in Wisconsin, you'll hear about it on the station with local news and
local news and timeless hits. WGBW, Denmark Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump departs today for Israel. He'll address the Israeli parliament. He's also going to meet with hostage families as the release of hostages draws closer. The president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, told the Tel Aviv rally Saturday,
"We're not going to celebrate tonight. We're going to celebrate on Monday when the phase one gets into conclusion."
And that's when the Israeli government has told families their hostage family members will begin to come back. Meanwhile, Gaza civil defense says more than 500,000 people have returned to Gaza since the ceasefire went into effect. It's day 12 of the U.S. government shutdown. More than 4,000 federal employees received layoff notices Friday, but some of the CDC were later told they had not been laid off, the CDC blaming a coding error. President Trump says he told Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to ensure members of the military are paid. And Hollywood is mourning Diane Keaton after her death at 79. This is ABC News.